Samariala. Tumat ka. I didn't feel comfortable.
Bring Mari up.
Mari.
Yeah, there it is.
What? Yeah.
Actually, that's twice now.
Oh, what's up, my thing? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bring it back.
Come back.
I'm thinking of growing a mullet as well. Yeah. You notice I came from backstage this week.
I did.
We tried to make it a little bit more professional.
No,
last week I just was there and just sort of walked out. So I'm like, all right, we'll pretend it's a real show. What up, peeps? Feel good? Look at all their smiling faces. We were a bit worried. There was no one here about 15 minutes ago. So it's nice to have anyone. Thank you. Specifically you.
Right up front.
I like that. You'll like my urination bit. It's great for the front row. Great for the front row.
Similar to Gallagher's
Water
Melbourne bit.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's a lot like R. Kelly's urination bit. But you're of age, so it's okay. What I was going to do, you were going to be like, oh, my letter, and then I was just not going to come out for a bit. And you were going to be like, my letter, and then I was just not going to come out. And then I was going to come out and be like, April Fool's, because it's April Fool's. It's April Fool's. And I know it's a comedy show and pretty much the entire thing is April Fool's,
yeah.
But
yeah.
There was no fooling involved. And I wanted to add some fooling involved.
Some foolery.
Some foolery. So I was just not going to come out.
And then you didn't come through.
And then I thought, that's a lame joke. Yeah, yeah. But it hurts me. It hurts my soul to do them. So.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well, I think as you've breached April Fool's.
Segway.
Solid segue. I did some research this afternoon.
No.
See, this is a podcast. You can't do visual gags.
I can for the 8 people here. I mean, it's a podcast for the full room.
All the way up to the back. Give us a shout out. I found some fun stuff this afternoon. I spent all afternoon researching April Fool's Day to see what I could find out, because that's what today is. And,
is it today or yesterday? Is that the first or the second?
It's the first.
Is today the first?
Yes. Okay. A man who's really employed, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Or just drunk all the time.
And both.
What day is it today? Tuesday? Anyway, go on.
That's good. So, what I found, this was one of the stupidest things I found. So obviously the internet's ruined.
Just ruined? Ah, it's ruined. Okay.
A lot of the things.
Yeah, but specifically April Fool's Day.
Because every year when who's got a website puts up a hoax thing.
Yeah.
That hoax thing gets picked up 6 months later by some idiot who's like, look at this!
See?
Not just for April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
And I think businesses seem to forget that.
Yeah.
But I think this is the weirdest thing that I saw today. Prince Charles did a tweet. And I don't know if he runs his own Twitter account. I doubt it. I have serious doubts.
I would doubt if one does that.
But he put up a tweet about Donald Trump.
So, yeah, he did not do that.
He goes, today's the day Donald Trump reveals his presidential campaign is just one elaborate hashtag April Fool's Day prank, right? Pretty standard.
That was from Prince Charles' Twitter account?
Yeah. And I just thought, see, you're having the same thing,
yeah.
Which is very weird of Prince Charles to be sitting back criticizing someone who's potentially going to be a really shit ruler in the future.
Those are your words, not mine. I love Prince Charles. Just in case Prince Charles wants to come on the podcast.
Nobody
guessed
on this
day. I think he's got a really good tight five. I just want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
What's the deal with my ears?
I don't know if that
people would
go into that. What's the deal with poor people?
He's self-deprecating. He's very
self-deprecating. He would have to.
But I mean, surely that wasn't him, though.
Yeah, I would assume he doesn't run it.
And also, what a weird.
And I assume they stole it from someone.
Somewhere else, yeah, yeah.
So like, whoever's running Prince Charles's Twitter account, like, they steal from everyone anyway. Fuck it. They steal it from by just existing.
time for me to go into my
anti-monarchy bit. Yeah, Jesus, I've never seen this side. He has a good solid tell on the anti-monarchy movement.
Yeah, I know. So every year there's like big lists of the best pranks from like last year, or the best pranks from the day. I was reading the Guardian's list of the best pranks, and they were all pretty average. There's some alright ones in there. But the weird thing I found about that was because it's a news website. They have a get live updates on this story already embedded into the...
Right, yeah.
Like I'm sitting there going, so this is going to be a good one. Someone's going to do a great fucking prank and I will be updated straight away because I signed up to the Guardian's live RSS feed on April Fool's Day, which yeah, I'm sure gets updated more than once a day. Or once a year, I should say. Place is time. I know all about time. But I did find some good pranks. There's actually been some good ones.
This is from this year or all
no,
time?
No, like over yeah, yeah. time. Yeah. So like in the 50s, in 57, the BBC, they did a broadcast of like a faux documentary about Swiss farmers picking freshly grown spaghetti, like from spaghetti trees.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty fun, right?
That's very funny.
But they had to formally backpedal and be like, it's not real, guys, because they were getting all these requests for spaghetti plants.
Oh man.
People riding in going,
where do we get them?
Spaghetti plants.
Oh lord.
The Swiss. How inventive. the Copenhagen Metro, when they were building their underground subway system. They had to have done this overnight. I don't know when they did it. Because their April Fool's prank was to build what looked like a protruding train bursting up out of the ground.
Hey, that's cool.
And they cautioned it off with like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. There's photos of it. It's pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Get a chance. Google it. Don't do it now. But it's pretty cool. And that was one of my favorite ones. Google announced, I think this was last year, or maybe the year before, hey, in their Gmail, they were going to have a mic drop feature in their chats where you send a message to someone, you're like, send a mic drop, and then they can't reply back to you. Done. No one can get back. That was one of my favorites.
They should do it. That shouldn't be a fool's joke. They should just do that.
Just start new chain going, what the fuck? Yeah, that's drop me, you bitch.
Imagine Hillary Clinton's mic drop in her emails. All those emails are just her mic dropping every statement. Just like, we're going to bomb Benghazi, mic drop, and then she just leaves and then no one can say anything.
It would be a really horrible thing to have in the hands of like Trump. He's like, Mexico's going to build a wall.
Dear Mr. Yeah, he does mic drop. He physically does. The one today was one of the NBA teams sat a player down and went, we're going to have to let you go. Just kidding.
Not so much a prank.
Just mean. Just hella mean.
This is what I mean about April Fool's Day. It's just become this horrible circle of torturing the stupid. The gullible.
I've been caught out a few times because I don't pay attention to what, like, I didn't know. Okay. Yeah. So there's been many a time where I'm like, what the fuck? And it was like, April Fool's Day. I'm like, oh, is that today? Is it? And it's June when that happens, so I'm... That's not even a... That's hardly even a joke. If you if you break that down, that's hardly even a joke.
the last one I have, my favourite one, is Blizzard. You know Blizzard? The video game company? You know Blizzard?
Blizzard.
Blizzard, yeah.
I know Blizzard. I was saying Blizzard.
So Blizzard, and they sort of did this one as a way of making a point, which is partly why I like it. So a few years back, Blizzard amended their terms and conditions, and inside the terms and conditions was that they own your soul.
Oh, right.
And they were like, see, no one reads our terms and conditions.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And they were making a point about the internet, and they were like, you're all idiots.
That's cool.
We do all own your souls, though.
Lols, we actually do all own your soul. Blizzard, okay, cool. I mean, computer games do own people's souls.
Yeah, it's not hard.
You just don't want to explicitly say it.
It's a spiritual form as well.
That's cool. Well, that was fun. I want to do something right now. Sorry, that's, I've been wanting to do that for the last 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay, my mic can fit in that hole. There's a hole on stage and I put the hot mic in the hole just to see if it fit, and it fit, okay? Once again, proving that I am a master at looking at holes and seeing what can and can't fit. Come back next year for Marty's What Fits in This Hole show. It's just an hour of me putting things in holes.
Every it's audience member
will be sort of like government. It'll be on King Street. You pay $2. You look through a little screen. There's me putting things in holes. Never missing. Never missing either. Just like, I reckon that could fit, bang.
Wow. This is what these people came here to see.
That's true.
You demonstrate your amazing depth.
What else can go in? Well, I'll show you right now. Bring something on stage, I'll put something in it. That's next year's show. BY on holes. Martin will put stuff in it. But it's consent. You said it's consent.
Yeah,
but they don't have to bring themselves. They can bring items, and I just stuck to it. They don't know that. And then if they've only brought themselves, well, then something's getting put in a hole, and if you didn't bring anything. Fine. You always crush my dreams, man.
Some dreams need to be
crushed. All right, so if. Who's heard, who's listened to the podcast before? I know my guys haven't. anyway, all right. So if you haven't listened to the podcast before, it's me and Matt. We do what we just did then, which is talk shit, and then we play clips of comedians, and we go, "Oh, that's good," and that's the show. And so, so we've done the talking shit part, and now we're gonna, instead of playing clips, bring out real people to do comedy and be like, oh, that's good. And then we're free to do what we want. So
everyone who we have on tonight has a festival show running. And
correct.
I recommend that you go see them because we've seen them around, very funny people. Or else we wouldn't have them here.
Yeah.
We wouldn't do you like that, guys. We're better than that.
Yeah. I personally vouch for both the guys I've never met. Both of them. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm about to find out with you guys.
So, I guess we're going to up our first act.
Yep.
I'd like you to put your hands together and welcome to the stage. A very funny man who's won himself some awards recently, Mr. Paul Culliver.
Woo!
Was the Wild Wild West ride in Movie World. I threw up in the line. I threw up when the carriage, what's that called? When the roller coaster began. And then, you know, when they take the photo, I threw up then as well. Like, but the thing was, it was Wild Wild West, there was water going everywhere, so it just all washed away. Like, my sins were washed away that day. And my parents, didn't seem to care that I was paralyzed in fear the entire time. So, this is a little bit challenging for me to come and perform in a place that inspires so much terror in me. I think that's the point of Luna Park. The motto here is just for fun. That's not the case for me. All right, just for fucking get me out of here, please. I can't handle this. No, but it's cool. It's really cool. There's The whole place is filled with joy. You're having joy. People are just circling us on roller coasters having joy. Like, you can't escape. Fucking, it's great.
Anyway. All right, enough of the improvised. Paul prepares material for when he's places. I do love Melbourne. Luna Park's a very cool part of Melbourne. I just took, if you want it, I took a really great selfie out in front of that, the lit up face. So you guys should try that as well. If you want to, like, I don't look at good ever, but that the lighting out there was, so, like, that's just a little pro tip. But I love Melbourne. Melbourne's amazing, right? There's a little fun fact I learned about Melbourne recently, is that there are more languages spoken in Melbourne than there are countries in the world.
Whoa.
Even more amazing than that is that for every conversation spoken in Melbourne in another language, there's a white person there yelling at them to speak in English! Sad but true. Do you guys know who the Lord Mayor is? Lord Mayor Robert Doyle? Are you guys familiar with him? I need vigorous nods, because otherwise I'm not going to do the bit. Like, do you guys, no, you don't, we're not going to do it, it's fine. Like, you don't need to know who he is, but it's not funny if I... It's fine, we'll move on. I'm sorry, that's not going to be good. Just appreciate that, you know, he's alright. Anyway. we'll do it, fuck it, alright. So anyone that doesn't know who Lord Mayor Robert Doyle is, all you need to know is that you don't need to know who Lord Mayor Robert Doyle is. Alright? You don't need to know who he is, you just need to know that he's the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, he's a politician, he's fucked, alright? So literally 1 year ago today, came up on my Facebook feed today, 1 year ago today I met him. And I was flying out in front of the town hall because it was comedy festival time, and I saw him come out, and I was like, oh, he's probably busy, I mean, he's doing important things, but so I won't bother him. And he was about to get into his car, and he paused for half a second, I was like, well, that's good as an invitation. So I went over to him, and I said, Lord Mayor, hi, my name's Paul Culliver, and I'm doing a comedy festival show, I handed him a flyer, and I didn't even tell him my name, I just said hi. I didn't do that. Alright, I said hi. It's very important for the next joke. Alright. So I gave him the flyer and he took it and he said, oh, Paul. I said, good, he can read. See, that paid off. Poor boy. And he said, oh, where are you doing the show this year, Paul? And this is important, last year. Don't go to the venue this year to see me. Last year. And he said, I'm performing at the Highlander Bar. He said, Peter Jensen territory. Now, you, like me, thought, who the fuck is Peter Jensen? Like, I don't know. I still, to this day, like a year later, I have no idea who the fuck this guy is. And so I answered in the only way that I possibly could and said, yeah, potentially. I don't know. He sensed my confusion and he clarified. He said, oh, Peter Jensen lives near there. Okay. Fine. It's the CBD of Melbourne. A lot of people live near a lot of places, alright? It's not great for this conversation. At that point, I'm satisfied. I was like, I'm done. I'm ready to walk away from this conversation. You have nourished my soul today, Lord Mayor of Melbourne. But he wasn't done. He said, oh, Paul, well, since you're a comedian, why don't you tell us a joke? Oh, fuck you. Fuck you, Lord Mayor of Melbourne. I want to tell you a joke. A lot of people come up to comedians and ask them for a joke. And you might think that's a reasonable request, but it's not, right? It's fucked, okay? It's like my pet peeve. For example, like what do you do? What's your day job?
I work here.
You work here, right? All right. If I just ran into you on the street, all right, and I was like, hey, what do you do? Oh, you work at London Park. Deliver me fun and merriment immediately. You're like, no, I can't, okay? It's not within my means. That'd be a fucked request, right? Okay? Right? So that's why, like, as a comedian, I'm like, oh, come on, like, wait till I'm on stage. And but I thought, no, it is the Lord Mayor of Melbourne. This, you know, he's a VIP, he's a very important person. I could get him to come and see my show, that'd be great press, that'd be amazing. And so I was like, I'm going to tell him a joke, I'm going to go a quick joke, it's a little morsel that I can give him that he'll laugh at, it'll be funny. Well, maybe I've got something Melbourne related. I was like, oh, wait, I've got a Melbourne joke. It's about Melbourne. It's about the number of languages spoken in Melbourne.
All right.
And so I told him that joke.
Oh, God.
That I just told you.
And his response was incredible, because when you hear a joke, right, when I tell you a joke, you're allowed one of two responses, okay? You can laugh, would love if you laughed, okay? You can also not laugh. Not preferred, but okay? That's all right if you don't laugh at some of my jokes. What the Lord Mayor of Melbourne chose to do was both. He heard my joke, looked at me like stone cold, like nothing registering in his face for 3 whole seconds. That's a lot of time. 1, 2, 3, and then chuckled. Holy shit, I think I broke it. Like, I was like checking if there's CCTV, like, I think this is the moment that I broke the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, like, were they gonna be after me? I was like, holy fuck. Again, like, I'm out of here, I'm done. I'm like, I don't know what I've done. And he was still not done with me. He said, huh, very funny, Paul. He decided it was fine. Because, like, politicians' brains don't work like ours do. Like, we hear something and we respond accordingly. They hear something and then they go through, like, 5 filters. Like, what's Neil Mitchell going to ask me in the morning on the radio? Like, well, what are the constituents going to think? Right, do I have funding to answer this question? Like, all these things. And then they respond with something that has nothing to do with what you just said to them. Like, if you ever get a chance, like, an election coming up this year, if you get a chance to talk to your local member, do it, because it's so easy to fuck with them. Like, it's incredible how quickly you can just break their tiny brain. So please do that for your own joy. And I did that, and I was worried, I was scared. And he said, oh, that's a very, very funny joke, Paul. I can improve on that. Oh, can you? Oh, fucking can you? Lord Mayor of Melbourne wants to improve on the comedian's joke. All right, go right ahead. And he leaned in and he said... I don't know if that's registering in the mic, but there's like some like, it's a small world after all shit going on.
Yeah.
Sorry, is that competition? Am I not allowed to refer to Disney properties at the park?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Edit that out. Everybody in your brain space, edit that out as well. It didn't happen. And so he said, no, I can improve on the joke. And I was like, all right, well, Lord Mayor, what's the next part of the joke? And he said, and then the white person leans in and says, speak louder and slower. What the fuck does that mean? Makes zero sense. I have like gone to the most like expert language people in the world, Melbourne University, like, what the fuck does this joke? Nobody knows. Nobody's been able to figure it out. All right, it's incredible. And what was the most amazing thing is that my sister was there at the time. She took a photo of me and the Lord Mayor. And as I walked away, we tweeted it. And then the Lord Mayor of Melbourne retweeted my photo.
Yeah.
And I was like, boom, win, nailed it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. It's me.
Woo, yeah. Yay, Jay.
All colourful, ladies and gentlemen.
Come over. Come over to the... Oh, God, I'm off.
You're on.
Hey, you know what? You were talking about putting things in holes that fit before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that bit that we now can't edit out.
I'm pretty sure like that's a test they do for like to check if kids are autistic or not.
If they can put it in or if they can't.
Yeah, it's about like following patterns.
Because I can deafs put it in.
So
oh yeah.
I would say, well, that's a good thing.
Asperger's.
Like, if you do that for an hour, like you bend them, fuck it up.
Asperger's. I have Asperger's.
Okay. One, and they will diagnose you. I'll take you straight up.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I've never done it, but I'm pretty confident.
All I heard was there's a free test where I get to push it in shit, and I'm down.
Like, I think because you were going for sexual connotation, but I was literally just thinking of kids' toys.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going for sexual connotation.
Oh, okay.
They took it like that, the freaky dogs. I just like putting stuff in stuff.
You were learning a lot about money.
And then what are you going to do with it? Okay, fine. So that was good. I enjoyed that. Did you actually... Hey, this is the podcast, huh? If you were a clip, that's what we'd be doing. No.
What happened if it was bad? Just go, no, we're done. All right.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no, I like his earlier stuff.
That's not in my new show. You come to my show, you get a whole new show.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
It's very visual gags. Lots of visual gags. Where is it? What time? Give us the spiel.
Downstairs lounge at the Grand McHugh Hotel, which is like corner of Little Birkenton Street in the city. It's at 7:15 every night, starting from Tuesday, the 5th of April, for 2 weeks. No show Monday, because who could be fucked?
What's the name?
It's called The Honey Pot. You got to say it that way. The Honey Pot.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get tickets. I'll be like, fuck
off. Oh, yeah.
Did you really throw up three times on that roller coaster?
I mean, don't pick holes in my story.
I was just thinking, like,
you've never met the Lord Mayor in your life.
Yeah, my parents are like, they planned it. well, you know, I think I've repressed some of that ride. Like, I can only remember patches of it.
Right.
I was like 12 or something. And I mean, the crazy thing is, I still get really nervous just before I do things that I haven't done for the first time. So I'm like, well, tonight was fine, but like when there's high stakes, you know what I mean? So sometimes, say like if I was playing like a big room that I've never played before, if you like saw me a second before I walked out on stage, I would be like
vomiting.
Like, well, yeah, like
Paul
popping up a lung, and then I'd walk out on stage, and hopefully you wouldn't be able to tell at all. And that's carried through into my comedy. But even when I like did things as a kid, like yeah, like roller coasters, I was deathly terrified of them. And I'm not even sure if I could get one on now.
So we rejigged this show and forced you to do something on the roller coaster.
I was excited if that was the show. Like Stardust Room. Do you guys know that? This is called the Stardust Room. This is the least Stardust Room I've ever seen.
No, this is exactly how Bowie pictured it.
This is exactly how Bowie pictured it. We're having a lot of fun, obviously. For listeners at home, it's like...
Next year we should try and do it on the roller coaster. Just, the whole thing.
I talked about it with Lauren Bach when we were talking about the idea of doing this show here. And she suggested doing a...
Comedians on roller coasters? Comedians on roller coasters getting sick. That would be cool.
But it would be so, like the logistics of something like that.
And the noise, yeah.
Don't worry about the noise. It's fine. We'll just get audio of us all going, "Aah!"
What's the...
We'll listen to that. People listen to the white noise machines. Surely that falls in that territory.
It could be like an experimental album.
Who was it? Who's the, is it Louis someone that brought out an album, like he was contractually obligated,
this is a bad story now, contractually obligated to bring out an album, and like his third album or whatever for like a particular studio was just like 40 minutes of white noise.
Oh well.
So you don't know who that was?
Because you had to hand something in, oh well.
I'll think of it.
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed. Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you did say Lou something.
The only person that's ever made music called Lou is Lou Reed.
And Louis Armstrong, but I'm like, he wouldn't do that. So, yeah, no, Lou Reed.
There is a band, I cannot remember the name, who, to get around Spotify, like to make a bit of money off Spotify, they released a silent album and they encouraged their fans to just play it while they were asleep and on loop so they can make money off
that's the fantastic. Music.
That's cool.
The 20 cents a night or whatever they could get.
Just that noise there, that's lovely. I would go to sleep to that.
That's a good idea. Yeah, these people listen to like oceans and seals and stuff. What if
you
just had an ambience in the gift shop here?
Yeah.
Because
the part that most appeals to me is the screaming children.
So here's a weird thing. I've found out through someone who used to work here, that there is a podcast that has two separate sounds, like the two ears are synced up differently, and it's two guys just having a day at Disneyland. And then I don't know how often they do it, how often they really. I just know that
it exists. Are they talking, or is it just the experience?
I assume that they're talking to themselves. But it's sort of like just for people who can't be there, but really want to.
Right.
Like, I don't know in what territory that falls.
Jesus.
worrisome is
they go off with their mics and have two different days.
Yeah, and then the podcast is like,
and you're hearing it in both ears.
Yeah.
Both my ears.
Yeah. Unless you think the necessary amount of ears.
It's in at very least two ears.
Yeah. I've got like a fun idea. This is not an original idea, but I'll share it with you because it gives me joy. Is that anyone that has like two of something, like traditionally 2 years or that sort of thing, you have above average ears. If you think about it, because there are people walking around in the world with no ears. There are people with one ear. So on average, people with two ears have above average ears. Same for, we have above average legs, we have above average arms.
We're doing well, guys.
Yeah.
It's so much better than the, there are children starving somewhere in the world, so eat your food.
Yeah, you also have above average privilege in your life. So,
oh, God. I thought you were going to say something else.
Who are listening at home don't know how wide I am, but yes, that's quite true.
I think they could tell. You're doing a podcast in a fun park.
Above average transparency.
Yeah. Luminescence.
Any April Fool's anecdotes?
Oh, you know what? I just slept till midday. It was great. That's like the cutoff, right?
Like, yeah, it's just the cutoff.
Oh, is it? Is it just the morning?
Because the theory is, I don't know how sound this is, but if you do it after 12, you're the April Fool.
Ah, I did not know that. Yeah. Okay.
I did see, because you know, like Facebook still posts, like obviously someone could post something from hours ago and it pops up in your feed, and so you think it's new. So like I got tricked a few times. And this sounds horrible, but like there was a comedian, he's a wonderful, I won't say who it is, but a wonderful comedian who like posted, his April Fool's was that he's quitting comedy. And like, I have everything but love and, like nothing but love and support for this guy, but still as like a competitive comedian, part of me just goes, oh yeah, they're probably best. Probably best ass competition.
Wow.
I love this guy, and I was like, I was sad, but also like, oh, if it means I sell another ticket, like, so fucked.
What a horrible thing to say about Tom Ballard. Oh, poor Carvalho. beef.
Also, lovely guy.
All right, well, thank you. That's been good. Do I leave
now? No, Carson Couch. Casting Couch.
I think it's a casting couch, and I thought you were like referring to like some late night TV show that I didn't know, which sounds like a great idea. But you said casting couch.
No, I said Carson Couch.
What?
Yeah.
Happening.
As in, you know, because the Johnny Carson show, he used to leave people.
Casting couch. I don't know what the casting couch is.
Except that it's the first thing.
That thing that I misheard, someone's gonna have to explain.
It's more disgraceful that you don't know what a Carson couch is. No, it's fine. Okay. It's not that disgraceful.
Paul Hubble, ladies and gentlemen. Keep that love and warmth going. Give it up. Mr. Wonderful was the semi show.
Yeah!
Hi.
Oh, that's out.
Hi. How are you guys doing? I like your confidence, by the way.
I do.
No, because it's a weird thing. Like, I go to the cinemas alone. Because I don't see the point of going to cinemas with people. You're always worried about, like, are they enjoying it? Like, fuck it, no, I want to watch a movie. And then when I go alone, people always look at me weird. Maybe because I'm brown hair as a backpack walking in cinema. But also, I think it's because I'm alone sitting there in the cinema. That's weird. But to come alone to a comedy show and sit in the front, that's good for you, man. Like, normally, I'd pick up the person in the front, but I respect you, I admire you, and they're in trouble now. It's fine. My name's Sammy Shah, as he said. I don't know why I'm reintroducing myself. And he didn't say it, he said. Anyway. Let's see, I'm from Pakistan. I used to live in Pakistan. And then I moved to Western Australia, where I lived for 4 years because the Department of Immigration is an asshole and they made me do that. And then when my visa finally got the proper visa, I flew to Melbourne because I was tired of making money. And, 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 I, and I've been living, I love Melbourne, I like living here and everything, and it's been great so far. I've had a very unique Melbourne experience with public transport. I feel like everyone in Melbourne should have a public transport unique experience, and I think mine already wins for the year, because here's what happened. I started taking trams a lot, right? Because when I was living in WA, I don't know if you've ever been to Western Australia, it's humongous, right? So you drive, I used to drive 2 hours every day to my show, to do a gig, and then drive 2 hours back. That's how I do my shows. So I came here and I was like, oh, I want to take a tram, I never want to fucking drive again. And I started taking the tram everywhere, it was great. And my second month here, and this is a true story, by the way, comedians always say this actually happened, but a lot of times it doesn't. But this one actually fucking happened. I get on the tram, and I'm reading a thing on my phone, I'm reading an article, and I walk in the tram and I sit down, and I'm sitting on the tram, and this lady gets on the tram, who is an old white lady, right? And the reason I point out what that is because you have to understand, the old white lady is the most frightening thing on public transport for immigrants. Because every few months you have that, when like a video comes out of like an old white lady yelling at some poor Asian child, and she's like, fucking go back there, fucking get, and everyone's like, they are the apex predators of Australian racism. You know? They're like great white sharks with wrinkles, like they're fucking frightening. So as soon as old white women get up on public transport, I tense up. And as the lady gets on and she sits right across from me. So I was like, okay, she's sitting here, whatever. So I go back to my phone, I'm looking at my phone, and now I can feel her staring at me. You know, like when you can't see the person staring at you, but you can feel them because you can feel the heat over here, like their eyes are lasering in on your forehead. And I can feel that heat, and I was like, oh god, she's staring at me, I'm gonna end up on YouTube, I don't... Like, it's not like a viral video that helps your comedy career either, like, it's like, oh, I went viral, like, no, this would not sell tickets. So, I'm like, oh man, so I looked up, and she was staring at me, unblinkingly, just staring right at me. And I was like, oh, okay, this is gonna happen. And then I saw movement in my peripheral vision, but not this side, like down here. And I look down, and this thing happened where like I look down because my brain is being trained to look at movement, because as a Neanderthal or a primitive man, like in the savannas of Africa, our ancestors were looking for saber-toothed tigers. So they like, before the brain could even register the saber-toothed tiger, the eye would see it. And like that's why we have that instinct, but we don't need that shit anymore. Because this, I saw movement, I looked down, and the moment I looked down, my brain was like, go! So it's too late. Because, and I'm not lying to you, this lady was sitting across from me, and she was pulling up her skirt, and she was just showing me, like what I saw was, pumpkin. That's the only word that for some reason comes to mind. I saw pumpkin, all right? Like I saw that it was there, and I was like, no, too late, and I'm like, no, too late, and then I was like, no, and then I'm like, why is this happening to me? And as I look away, I realize there's another lady over there, a young woman who's on the tram, who's standing there, and she's seen this entire interaction happen. She saw me get on the tram, she saw this lady get on the tram, she saw me reading, she saw me looking up, and saw this woman flashing me pumpkin, and she sees all this, and she's glaring at me, angrily. And I was like, I'm the fucking victim here, like this is not fair. And like, this is the second tram I'd taken that day, like this is the connecting tram to another tram, and the previous tram I'd gotten on. When I got on that tram, there was, that one was really crowded, there was no place to sit, and there was a lady sitting, like a young woman sitting on one of those tiny benches they have on the side of trams sometimes, where it's really small, just enough for one person. This woman is sitting there, she's reading a book, and I was standing in front. And this Indian guy gets on. It's not important to the story that he's Indian, but I'm from Pakistan, so he fucking is, right? This Israeli Indian fucking guy gets on. And he goes up to this lady who's reading a book on the bench, and he goes, excuse me, move over. And she has to scoot over, like on this tiny bench, like this now, and then he sits down and he manspreads. And this woman I'm watching, this woman is like sitting in the corner of a bench that she had first, and she like scooched over kind of reading a book, and this guy is just sitting there like that, oblivious, and I was watching the whole thing, and in my head I was like, this fucking guy, like he's taking this lady's space, like that's not fair on her, it's wrong. And then I was like, I'm such a feminist for thinking that, like I was like, so, and then the next time over, I'm like, women are horrific creatures, like I was like, in Australia, and I don't understand it. When I moved here 4 years ago, I was living in Perth. And I landed in Perth, and in my second week in Perth, my wife and I went to a restaurant to eat dinner. And we went to a Thai restaurant to eat dinner. We sat down, and we were eating dinner in Perth, and this Thai restaurant, and my wife elbows me and goes, "Look up now." And I looked up, and there was an old white lady sitting across from me, staring unblinkingly, and lifting her skirt to show me pumpkin. And at some point, yeah, we're doing this. This pumpkin is happening. That's a thing now. I ruined Halloween. But like, I had to sit around, like, why is this happening? Why did no one warn me that this is a thing that happens in Australia? Like, you always like, stop the boat, send them to Manus, send them to Nauru. Like, fucking shoot, tell them, oh, pumpkin happens. And no one's coming here. Like, it's as if I won this weird genie monkey's paw situation where like the genie came out and he's like, "You have one wish." And I was like, "I want women to show me their vaginas." And he's like, "Yes, you didn't say which ones." And like, now I'm just stuck with that. Like, I've had awesome experiences though. Do I have one more story?
Yeah, you take all the time.
I've had awesome experiences though, because I came here and I'm doing comedy in Australia, and I got really lucky. I got like to live a lifelong dream kind of a thing, where last year I was going to London to do shows, and I got a call from QI, the producers of QI. Has anyone here seen QI? Yes, you've seen it? Like Stephen Fry? And for me, that's like a dream. Like, it was always a thing where I was like, one day, maybe, in the future, if I'm really lucky, because I love Stephen Fry. Like, everyone loves Stephen Fry, but I really, like, here's the thing. I love Stephen Fry so much that he was born on August 24th. I was born on August 24th. His nose is crooked because he fell off a swing as a child. My nose is crooked because I fell off a slide as a child. He was expelled from school in seventh grade. I was expelled from school in seventh grade. And he is best friends with Huey Laurie, and I've seen all of House.
You didn't see the horn and that joke coming, that's on you.
I was really excited. I was like, I get to be on QI, and I went there and I flew to London, and they took me to the studio. This guy came and he drove me to the studio, and they take me up to this room, like a private room I have, and I'm pacing, and when I'm nervous, I get dry mouth. So I drank like two bottles of water, and then this guy comes and he takes me down into the green room where like there's a bar, and I walk in, and there was Sue Perkins, David Mitchell, and Alan Davies just chilling there, just relaxing. I was like, oh my god, these people are legends, they're amazing. And I was so nervous, and I was like changing color, and like they gave me a bottle of wine. They're like, "Here, have some," and I drank the entire thing because I was so freaked out. And then Stephen Fry walks in, and he goes, "Hello, my name is Stephen." And I was so freaked out, I said, "What do you do here?" I swear to God, it's actually happening. And then Stephen Fry and everyone, like, we all get ushered into the studio, there's 200 people there, it's a live audience, and all of a sudden Stephen Fry is saying, "Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening," and QI is happening, and I'm sitting there, and I'm living my dream. My dream has come true, I get to be on the QI set with Stephen Fry, and that's when I realized I've had two bottles of water and one bottle of white wine, and I forgot to pee before the show started. And normally that's not a problem because people don't need to pee, or whatever they need to pee, sometimes you need to pee, it's okay, you can hold it. I've never needed to pee this bad. I don't know what happened, my body decided to fuck me, and if you watch the episode, it's online, there's 10 minutes when I am quiet. And for 10 minutes, every time the camera cuts to me, I'm sitting in a different position because I'm trying to take pressure off my bladder. I at one point actively tried scooting close to the desk and unbuttoning my pants. And then I realized that might be a crime. And I didn't. And then I was like, you know what, you're 37 years old, you're an adult, get yourself under control, manage yourself, handle this, this is your dream come true, don't fuck it up because you need to pee. And I was like, I got this, and I did it. Like, I used all my focus and resolve, and I focused in, and I stopped it, and I needed to, and I was done, and I was under control. And if you've ever seen QI on stage, they've got the stage here, and the guest panelists sit here, and on this side and this side are two giant TV screens that show footage of the next question that'll come up. And the moment I said, I got this,
they showed waterfalls. And I had to stop QI and go, excuse me, Steven, I am so sorry. To which he goes, you need to wee. And a production guy ran, they stopped recording of QI, a production guy ran me to the toilet, I'm unbuckling as I'm running. I slide into the toilet and I peed for days, and months and years, and vernal equinoxes and summer equinoxes and stash fashions and style changing. And it was just this never-ending pee. At the end of it, I went, oh. And then I go rushing back in. And I walked into the studio, and as I walk in, everyone starts applauding. And I was like, oh my god, they really like me, they're amused. And that's when I found out I left my mic on. Because my life was a farce. And 200 people, David Mitchell, Sue Perkins, Alan Davies, and my personal hero, Stephen Fry, heard me pee and started laughing. Then I kept peeing for so long, it became really funny. Then I kept peeing for so long, it became weird. Then I kept peeing for so long, it got really weird. Then I kept peeing for so long, it got funny again. And then I said, oh. And after I did that episode, a few days later, Stephen Fry announced that he's going to be quitting QI. And I think that's on me. So I'm sorry. My name is Sammy Shah. Thank you.
Sammy Shah, ladies and gentlemen, keep clapping. That was amazing.
Oh, should I move down so that isn't that the?
That's sort of yeah.
That's the Carson couch.
Where's the hole? Where's the hole?
I think
Paul. Oh, all
right. You got it.
Disappointing. I don't know why it's like more. Like shit around or something.
You got anything you don't need, Sammy?
Hopes and dreams.
The hole is so dark. Like, I just want to stare.
There's a trucker named Baba underneath
it. I'm actually mesmerized. It's just like staring into the void. I'm like, I could leave tonight and go out and do my comedy festival show, or I could stay here forever. And at the moment, it seems fine.
I'm gonna pull you away from that. Yeah.
Wait for my next year show. Next year show.
Yeah. Talk us through where are you?
I am at the Malthouse Theatre, which is in South Bank, Cooper's Malthouse Theatre. It's a beautiful venue and has zero walk-in traffic because it's nowhere near any of the festival venues. So if you come to watch my show there, it's because you're coming to watch my show there, which I would really appreciate if people came to watch my show there. Yeah, I start on the 5th, from the 5th to the 7th, from the 5th to the 17th, sorry. It's
what time?
Oh, good question. 7:30 p.m.
Look, just go, and at one point he starts doing stand-up.
I didn't put it. I also did not put that on my flyer.
Probably because you didn't remember.
Probably because I just figured someone would Google it and find out. So,
look, don't do that, and then just sit.
It's in the evening, obviously. It's not like 2 in the afternoon or something. All the ticket sales reflect the 2 o'clock timing. Yes.
What's it about? What's the... What can people expect? Does it have a
theme? Does it have a theme? Does it have a theme?
In my face.
The show is basically, it's called I, Migrant and Other Stories. It's the story of me. I used to be in Pakistan. I was a journalist and a comedian there. And then I got chased away by the Taliban, which is a fun story. It actually involves fart jokes, but you have to come there and find out. And so I came to Australia, and then I ended up in a small country town in Western Australia working for the Brethren community, who is a Christian extremist cult. And I was the guy who had to check their email for them and help many of the Brethren men have affairs because they weren't allowed to communicate with their lovers via email. So I used to write anyway.
So you were their wingman?
I was their inadvertent wingman. He paid to be a wingman. And then I had weird experiences with racism and threats and stuff like that. And then I did comedy in WA for 4 years, and then I finally moved to Melbourne. So it's the story of that whole journey, but with more dick jokes. Yeah.
That is a full life, my friend.
That's just the last 4 years.
It's gonna make you
material for days, guys.
Yeah.
What's Stephen Fry like?
Oh, dude, okay, so he is... I know, and I get that question. He is exactly how you'd imagine. He's giant, by the way. He's like 6'5" or 6'6" or something. He's huge. He walks in, he's really tall. And then like right away you're like, hi. And then he starts quoting George Orwell. Perfectly.
He's like the most intimidating man on the planet.
Apropos nothing. Like no, you're like, hi. And he's like, the way George Orwell said hi. And you're like, you're amazing. He's fantastic. He really is. But the guy who really blew my mind was, because you always, everyone knows Stephen Fry is a genius and he's awesome, is David Mitchell. Because I hadn't seen Peep Show before that or any of those things. I just knew him from the show. And like David Mitchell, when he faces you, his intelligence radiates off him like a heat. Like it's really sexy.
That took a turn.
That's my turn, yeah.
Yeah.
We got the glory hole.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Anecdotes.
Any April Fool's? Well, no, because like here's the thing, April Fool's like a weird thing for my culture because I don't know if it's true, but this is what we're told. We're told the origin of April Fool's is that when the British were colonizing India and Pakistan, or India at the time, and they colonized it, they didn't discover it like fucking Australia. Or but that was way political and deserved more. All right. So when they were colonizing Pakistan or India at the time. They wanted to like they wanted to insult the Muslim soldiers who were fighting back against them. So what they did was the guns back there had a cork in it which you had to like chew off with your mouth to kind of get the gunpowder out and then put it into the gun. And so they dipped that in pig fat because Muslims can't have pork. And that's how the origin of April Fool's Day was.
Is that real?
It happened in April. I don't know. Is that on the Wikipedia page?
That is not one of those stories that I found. There was a story about there being a pre-existing, like, fool's type ceremony in India.
Okay.
That it is possibly one of the many origins.
Because
nobody knows.
Okay.
There's no like designated official origin. There's a few things that go back to different dates. But I did not find that. But
that's what like, we were told. So we were like, April Fool's Day is haram! And we're like, alright, I can't find it. Valentine's Day is haram, April Fool's Day is haram.
That's just a thrifty society. That is a thrifty society.
That's why Muslims are angry all the time.
It's a mighty propaganda machine.
There we go.
It's
just
thrifty. That sounds like people are going to spend money for no reason.
It's haram.
Like obviously, like a Muslim getting shot with like pig's blood is awful. Like that's like, but like, how do you know? Like when you get shot, how like aware are you of the bullet that's just gone into you? Are you like, oh, I know what?
God knows, and apparently he's like a real dick about it.
Yeah,
like,
but
he's like, I know you died, but that pig blood on that bullet that wasn't your fault. That's what they're sending you to hell. Yeah, it's pig fat.
Pig's fat. Sorry, I'm getting Donald Trump in my ear. Because that's his thing, isn't it? But that's the thing, because like you could just shoot a Muslim, and I mean, obviously don't. But like, oh boy, this is going bad. Oh boy, oh god.
How to shoot a Muslim?
Oh. Guys, I'm running for president. Oh God, I'm going into cold sweats now. All right. No, but that's the thing. You could just be like, "Ha ha, I shot you." By the way, like you wouldn't even have to actually.
Yeah.
That's going too far.
You know that British dry wits.
Like, but where?
No, it is actually. Once you shoot a Muslim with pig's blood, they turn back into a wolf.
Oh, man. We are learning a lot today.
We're very hairy.
This is my Euro.
Wait, is it like Gremlins rules? Like,
so. You think they just save down wolves anyway?
You can't feed us non-halal food after midnight.
I just realized then I need to let you tell the jokes, and I can't. I was like, oh, this is a good track to like make. No, Paul, stay out of it. Let Sammy do the jokes. You're not allowed.
I can be racist.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman in Teen Wolf 2 the same over
again.
Oh, wow, we should have seen this coming.
I love how every time he goes back to him, he's like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, it's, process. It's like being bilingual. It's like you're on a 3-second delay with Monica. You should be like, and oh, shit. That's where his drag happens.
Yeah.
And he's known me my whole life. Yeah. Still hasn't cracked the code.
It's hard, guys. It's hard. It's not easy being friends with Monica. It brings you to a lot of places.
Next year's show.
Yeah.
It's not easy being friends with Monica.
That's my show.
That's right.
Beautiful. Well, I think we're about on time, to be honest, and I know you've got to
screw
it on now. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Graham McCure and at the Malt House.
Yes.
And if you guys actually, let's fire them right here.
Oh, yeah, we'll give you flyers.
Do it.
We'll do it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, guys. That's been another Friday evening. We got two more. So you guys should tell your friends. Come on out.
What is it?